Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is the Macko and Cause podcast. If you're listening to this on the Monday, either before your Thanksgiving or during it, and you just don't want to listen to your family, thank you so much. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz.
You left out one important option after your Thanksgiving, which is, I believe, where we find ourselves. I would like to dub this the less than enthusiastic edition of the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hold on. Who woke up this morning at 10 after 7 at a cottage, beautiful, gorgeous morning, to drive home to do this podcast? The hero you see before you, Matthew Cause.
That's true. So maybe I should just say the Bob is checked out edition of Macko and
Well,
Cause.
How you're dressed, you dress like you're checked out.
Yeah, I'm thankful for track pants today, boy. I'll tell you that.
Okay, just for the listeners to know this, it's black track pants, and not nice track pants, not like the really fancy ones.
What are you talking about, man? These are nice track pants. Nah, they're not.
Average track pants. I'm not saying low.
No, level. You're right. They're average.
Yeah, average. You know, it's a 950 square foot home somewhere in Mississauga. I mean, that's what those track pants are. And a white T-shirt, a Dodgers hat, which we'll get to later. But so you.
The key is the white socks, because I never wear white socks.
Oh, those Puma.
But I've got
socks.
Puma white ankle socks on. For working out. I gave up today and I just don't care.
Also, on top of that, Bob, I don't mean to interrupt, but you came in here with an announcement. Not only are you dressed like a hobo, kind of living hobo lifestyle.
That's
today.
True, because my phone doesn't work and I think I may have forgotten to pay the bill. So
we need sponsors for this podcast. Does not have phone or internet. Are you doing okay there, buddy?
I feel like Homer Simpson after Marge left him.
Yeah.
In 24 hours, I'll be dead.
Yeah, you're wearing a wedding dress. And, you know, you're fighting the alligator that's in the toilet.
I had a nice day yesterday making garbage angels in the living room.
There you go.
It's a disaster. Can I just start off with my first Thanksgiving takeaway?
Yeah.
Because we might as well just dive right into it. Because the reason I'm this brutalized is because of yesterday's meal.
All right.
I have a big cleanse coming up starting this week that's a month long.
Okay.
And so I kind of knew in the back of my mind this was kind of like my stag party of food.
Bob, this is your move. The main reason you love a cleanse is it gives you like 48 hours before the cleanse. You're like, I can eat what I want because I know what's coming.
I'd like to say that's not true, Matt, but that's 100% true. All right, so here's my Thanksgiving takeaway.
Yeah.
Small dessert is dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Because like my sister-in-law makes these little cheesecakes in the tiny little cupcake cups.
Yeah, the little mini ones.
Yeah, just little bite size. Oh, why don't I have four of them?
Yeah.
Why don't I have four of them? Because if you had a regular size dessert, you wouldn't say, oh, I should have four of these. You might be happy with one. It's just your brain knows how to deal with that. But the idea of bite-sized anything is such a lie. And you know what it made me think of? When I used to smoke, and they used to say that the extra light cigarettes are worse than the heavy ones because you just take deeper breaths.
Yeah.
You just haul in more smoke. That's kind of what I did yesterday, but for sugar.
Well, a couple thoughts. One, this is the same reason why Halloween, I'm just going to have one little mini candy. And then you end up having like eight of them. And it's like, I just had two candy bars.
The double Kit Kat?
Yeah.
The one that has only two bars on it?
Two little bars. Oh, let me have another. Also, the thing is about the small dessert, you can eat more in front of people and not feel shame. But when you're coming and having the second full slice of pie, you feel all eyes are on you. Like when you bring McDonald's back to a work environment at lunch.
That is 1,000% true. That is 1,000% true. That our own instinctive internal guilt meter will not allow us to get a third and fourth dessert ordinarily.
Yeah.
But if they're bite-sized, what could go wrong here?
And you don't feel people are paying attention. I'm in the middle now. I'm going to complete the trilogy today.
Okay.
I had my first Thanksgiving dinner on Saturday night with aunt and cousins and family up at my cottage. Yesterday, I had a Thanksgiving meal at my girlfriend's cottage, and tonight is going to be the final Thanksgiving dinner at my mom's place. So I have three three Thanksgiving meals, so I'm a blob.
Yeah, you're pretty good, though. That's good, buddy.
I am a blob.
I will just say this, and then I'll let Thanksgiving go away. Our top five is actually going to be kind of Thanksgiving-themed. It's top five foods that you eat only once a year.
Yeah, seasonal foods.
And it was kind of inspired by cranberry sauce, which nobody eats outside of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I don't even think people do cranberry sauce much at Christmas, do they? It's not the same. Like, you have turkey, but it seems like the cranberry sauce is more of a Thanksgiving destination. Am I right in saying that?
I'd say Christmas as well. I would say those two dates.
And it's really weird that people only eat turkey on those days.
Yeah.
It's delicious and everyone loves that. But the idea of cooking yourself a turkey, like if I were to go home on May the 9th and cook a big turkey for everybody, they'd think I was dying.
They would, but I think they'd love it. It'd be so novel.
Everybody would love it. Everyone, but nobody does it. It makes no sense.
By the way, you know what I feel bad for? I feel bad for Big Cranberry. They got to sit there and go, we only get 2 days a year, people. You better sell a lot of units because after December 26th, we're screwed.
Do you ever watch those nature docs in the desert and they'll show how like twice a year there'll be the big rainfall and for 72 hours after the big rainfall, the forest comes to life, animals come, they're drinking. That's kind of like Big Cranberry's economic existence.
Yeah.
Twice a year, they've got the oasis.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time, it's desert. So, I was going to say something. I don't even remember what it was.
You want to do some sports?
Yeah, let's do some sports. You want to talk Leafs?
Big
8-5 victory over the New York Rangers on Saturday.
You know what that game was? Because I had that game on no volume because it was my first Thanksgiving dinner. And so the game was always on even after we were done eating because, you know, people are talking. And everyone just, every goal, we all got so giddy and excited. And you know what that game was? It's not even just it was fun. That game was a celebration. Maybe because we were celebrating Thanksgiving, but just... And it starts to feel so expected. It's like, aha, yes, another goal. This is naturally what I expected to happen.
It is weird. By the time they're up 5-1, you're thinking, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
And not even like negative what could go wrong, but things could only go right. Maybe that's a better way to put it. And of course, they didn't go necessarily so right. But they did right the ship a little bit towards the end.
Yeah.
Defense, bit of an issue. Do you have a specific takeaway? Because I do.
Okay. Here's my takeaway on this. Because all the talk is Babcock is like, it was fun and dumb and stupid and we got to fix this and that.
Which was accurate.
Which is
accurate. That was a great thing for a coach to say.
Yes.
That was big, dumb fun.
Yes, it is. What's the line between trying to fix defense without sacrificing the offense? Because the obvious is, you know, the JVR, Bozak, Marner line is a disaster defensively. Maybe we got to break it up or, you know, we've got to hammer into them. Your offensive instincts, you need to dampen them for defense. And my question is just, is there a line between where you're going to try to fix the defense so much that it's going to hurt the offense?
I don't know that you can with this team, just because they got scorers up and down the lineup. I mean, even the fourth line has Connor Brown, who's a 20-goal-a-year guy, if not more. So I don't know that you can really screw up the lines by moving them around. But I will say usage probably matters.
Yeah.
We talk in general like the Bozak and JVR Marner line is the second line, but it isn't really. The second best line is Kadri with Marlowe and Komarov.
Yeah.
And they are defensively solid. And don't you just feel in your gut Kadri's... If he scored less than 25 this year, I'd be shocked. He's off to a great start. He's got a great winger on his side. They've got nice chemistry started already. So it feels like Babcock will probably just look at it as what it is, which is... use my first line as the, you know, like drawing the sword and beheading the enemy, right?
Yeah.
And then
they're the tip of the spear.
They're the
Matthews, Nylander, Hyman line.
That's I actually feel like the Kadri line is the tip of the spear. I feel like the Matthews line is the killing stroke.
Oh, okay. So Kadri's line, that's the one that breaks open the door, you know, the gate.
Kicks
the
door down, exactly.
And then in comes, okay, then in, okay,
well,
I got
you. The Marner line, and I'm just going to call it that because who's kidding who?
Yeah.
The Marner line struggled with breakouts. And so you get hemmed in your own zone, and that's where trouble happens. And we've seen that happen with the Leafs 1,000 times. Even the fourth line can get it out of their own end. So I would like to believe that Babcock will not... He will use the lines to their best and most effective output, 5-on-5. And that kind of means shying away from that Marner line, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It sucks for Marner, who you believe could be like this young Patrick Kane-type talent. But until they get their defensive stuff sorted out... you're just going to have to lean more on the Kadri line. I don't see how else you could do it.
And here's, you know what you do, and Myrtle was talking about this in one of his articles in The Athletic,
is just a couple less minutes for the Marner line on 5-on-5. Give them maybe more opportunities on the power play because defense doesn't matter as much and those guys are so great offensively. And then you just give those extra 5-on-5 minutes. Give it to the Kadri-Lander or give more to Matthews and Nylander and Hyman.
Or even the Even the fourth line if they wind up getting rid of Matt Martin, bringing in Josh Levo. Just saying. But Dominic Moore looks pretty good. And they've got Connor Brown down there now. It's a pretty damn good fourth line.
Yes.
You can afford to play them 10 minutes a night, I think, and it won't kill you. And if it takes a minute and a half at 5-on-5 away from that Marner line, in the end, that might be, I don't know what that's worth. I don't have the numbers in front of me to translate it, but just logic would suggest that if you have your worst defensive line and you play them the less, the other team will score less.
Yes.
That just logic would dictate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can always give Marner a bump up, too. You give him a little gift every once in a while where he gets to skate with Matthews.
Where we talked about it when...
Right?
When the
nuclear... Yeah.
When the bat signal goes off and it's Marner, Nylander, and Matthews all on the one line.
Aruga. Aruga. Yeah, and everybody in the auditorium puts down their cell phone.
Yeah. And it's this. It's...
Just we haven't had opportunity for you to do your siren in a while.
That is my City of London 1941. The Luftwaffe, is bombing the bleep out of our city, so everyone go hide. That's my air siren.
You know, they did give up 5 goals. It wasn't great.
I know.
But they did score 8.
They scored
which was?
And again, Lundqvist, who then shut out Montreal the next night. Now, that's pretty easy because it's Montreal. But think about this. You know, you chase him, and then the next night he gets a shutout.
So gratifying to watch the next night the Habs go down.
Yeah.
The Leafs are so much fun. I love it. But just every time the Habs lose now, makes me so happy. They should have lost that first game, too. They got lucky in that one. But all right, so since we're talking about the crazy offense, you and I threw out something as a hypothetical in the last...
I love this idea.
Okay, so let me explain. We were talking about how in the NFL, when you have a high-powered offense, it's very common for writers to come up with a nickname for that offense.
Greatest show on turf.
That's the best nickname ever.
Yeah.
But even going back to the Chargers in the 70s and Dan Fouts.
Air Coryell,
because Pete Coryell was their coach, and he drew up basically a deep strike
Don
offense.
Don Coryell.
Deep strike offense that was perfect for Dan Fouts' arm.
The receivers for the Redskins, they were the fun bunch in the 80s.
We don't have enough nicknames in hockey, I don't think.
We have no nicknames in hockey.
Right? The Legion of Doom was a great nickname back in the day.
That's it. Has there been a nickname since the Legion of Doom? It's just everyone's got E-R or Y at the end of their name. That's it.
Okay, so Matt and I, and believe me, I don't think we're going to come up with the final answer today. Because I know mine aren't that great. I don't know how yours are. And I'm kind of hoping, as per usual, listeners bail us out on this.
Yeah.
But we got to name the Leafs offense.
Yes.
Yeah. If they dry up, we'll stop calling them that.
I
but
know,
for the time being... All right, so how about this? In the spirit of naming a couple players, the main five, you got Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Marlowe, and Kadri.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit of a great old martial arts movie, the five deadly venoms.
Ooh.
They can all kill you different ways. Marner's like Snake because he's quick and fast and he turns on a dime. Marlowe's like Toad. He can't be defeated. He seems impervious to harm because he never goes down.
Yeah, I like this.
Scorpion.
Zach Hyman hates it, but
he probably does a little bit. You know, Kadri is Scorpion because he's small and he's got the sting and he gets into your shoe and you didn't even know he was there. Next thing you know, you're on the ground. So the five deadly venoms.
That's a good one.
Or we could go with the four lines because they have four lines of destruction. Maybe not so, but then go with the four deadly venoms. But I like my five deadly venoms for those five players.
I have two options.
Oh, Lord.
One is horrible. The other is okay.
I have another one that I actually do like.
Okay.
But you do yours first and then we'll circle back.
Oh, no, you didn't. Because the O for offense. And sometimes when you see them score, they're like, oh, no, you didn't just do that. So that's
not bad.
That's my really bad one. But the one that like I kind of like a little bit, just very simple, the Wave.
Oh, that's good.
Because they just... They
come in waves.
They come at waves. And here's this line.
And what color is a wave?
Blue. Exactly.
The Wave is pretty good.
The Wave.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, so that's my best option for the Leafs
offense. I kind of like yours better than my last one, but I'm going to throw this out because it's so nerdy.
Yeah.
So nerdy.
You mean nerdier than your last one of hipster kung fu movies from the 70s?
You have no idea.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yep.
The Blue Dragon. Think back to Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm there. Yep.
Who was the youngest of all the dragons? The blue dragon was.
I think it was the white dragon.
It wasn't the white dragon. I looked it up.
Okay, so the blue dragon. By the way, this could get really nerdy if we start arguing dragons,
Right, so the blue dragon was the youngest of all the dragons. And what did the blue dragon fire?
The blue dragon was lightning.
Was lightning. That's just right. Like the way the Leafs have a lightning strike. So they're young and they fire lightning. In the spirit of D&D, the Leafs offense is the blue dragon.
The 14-minute mark of this podcast, which I believe is about our 21st or 22nd.
I think it's 21.
Not counting the never-released Mayweather-McGregor one. This might have been the nerdiest moment. Not only did we just sort of debate, is the blue dragon the youngest?
You might be right about it being the white dragon, which fired chlorine gas.
The green one did chlorine gas. The white one was frost.
No, it was frost. Yeah. You're 100% right.
And if we want to go in order from weakest to strongest.
White, blue, green.
White, green,
no,
blue, black, red.
Oh, I think you're right, actually. Yeah, I think you're right.
Those are for the five heads of Tiamat.
And you know what? And nobody did bronze and gold and silver.
Well, no, those were the good dragons.
Right. Yeah, but nobody cared about them.
No one gave a bleep
because
about
they were good.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't fight a good dragon.
Yeah, it's true.
It's bad karma.
Yeah, no one ever talks about that. Okay, we got to get off this. This is really
all right. So anyway, so I like the wave better than I like the blue dragon.
Yeah,
we should let people vote
the wave
and also include their opinions on this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Vote. Send tweets. We'll tweet out as well.
The wave is good because another one I was thinking would be Blue Crush. Mm-hmm. It felt a little bit too much like Orange Crush, which is the Denver Broncos defense.
Yep. From the
70s. But the Blue Crush is a classic bad movie starring Jessica Alba. A kind of a surfer movie where they solve crimes.
Was it Jessica Alba or Kate Bosworth?
I'm pretty sure it was Jessica Alba. I don't have the internet and my phone doesn't work. Maybe you could look this up.
I don't. I've never seen it, but all right, if you want to talk for 10
Kate
seconds.
Kate Bosworth. Maybe you're right. Which one would have been the one with Jessica Alba then?
The one where they go like deep sea diving.
Yeah, but
and the ad for that just always showed a shot of her ass in the bathing suit.
It really, really did.
Blue Crush.
Blue Crush is starring. You might be right. I think it might be Kate Bosworth.
It is Kate Bosworth
and Paul Weller, right?
Matthew Davis.
I don't know who that is. So maybe it's Paul Weller and Jessica Alba is the other one. Now we need to know what the other one is. Maybe we'll do this at the end of the pod so we don't totally...
I've never even seen Blue Crush. I just remember the ads for it.
Anyway, the point is that we could kind of sandwich that in there because the wave is like the Blue Crush.
Yeah.
You're crushed by the onslaught.
So
the natural force of nature.
So send in yours. Yeah. But like Blue Crush, the wave, Blue Dragon. By the way, when we were doing that dragon conversation, I thought I was hearing the voices of either like some of our old producers, like Tyler Hunter, Aaron Carolina, going, move on, move on. No one cares about this. You're nerds. No one cares about Dungeons & Dragons.
They were right.
Yeah. They weren't wrong.
Sure. I'm ashamed that I couldn't remember that the blue dragon wasn't the weakest of all the dragons.
Yeah, it was white. White was the weakest dragon.
Although, you know, the Leafs this year, I believe their average age is 26, but that's because I think about three or four players... They hoist them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Hainsey, yeah, Patrick Marleau.
You get rid of Hainsey and Marleau and you're much younger. Yeah. Other sports. My dad sent me a great idea.
Okay, so is this a takeaway or just a generic observation?
A little from door A, a little from door B.
Okay.
My dad had a great idea. There are three teams that are 0-5 right now in the NFL.
Okay.
The 49ers, the Browns, and the Giants. They should play in a three-man round robin. And eventually the loser of that three-man round robin, we'll have to figure out how it works, gets sent down to the CFL. And unless that team wins the Grey Cup, they're relegated to the CFL for the following season. How awesome would that be? Because here's the great part. Also, the team doesn't get a week, gets no time to acclimatize itself. Plus, they've got to go to the Canadian content ratio. So they're going to have to cut a whole bunch of millionaires and bring in a bunch of, like, you know, OUA wideouts.
So Eli Manning is throwing to Andy Fantuz?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And if Hamilton's got to make a trade, Fantuz is back and healthy. But like, just imagine that, like this NFL team going, how is this game played? Like them trying to acclimatize this late in the year would be hilarious.
So relegation is an old chestnut in the sports/comedy world. But the idea of going to the CFL
yeah.
and having to play your way out.
Got to win the Grey Cup.
Like when Batman gets thrown into the deep pit by Bane.
Yes.
And he's got to climb his way back out of the tunnel.
Yes.
That is great. I love that.
So my soon-to-be 85-year-old father called me up and gave me that idea today.
He's the best. All right. So I actually have a takeaway that involves your New York Football Giants.
Go.
The Giants are 0-5. And the Bills are 3-2. Mm-hmm. But I would still rather be you as a Giants fan than me as a Bills fan, because at least your desperation will give you hope mm-hmm. when your team drafts a really good quarterback and starts to build a new legacy on that arm, as opposed to mine, which will go 8-8
yep.
based on culture
yep,
and a really solid defense
yeah.
and no quarterback. And none coming, because they're going to draft in the middle to bottom of the first round. Probably middle. They're going to draft in the middle of the first round. The best arms are going to be gone. This is what happens every single time. Matt, I envy you and your stinky Giants.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is what I want the Giants to do.
Josh Rosen. You're going to get Josh Rosen, too, because he's the guy I want.
Yeah, Rosen or Darnold, the USC or the UCLA guy. Here's what I want the Giants to do. Tank like crazy. Get a top two pick. And then... because I still believe in Eli. I think you give Eli the weapons around him, he can still be a guy that can get you to a Super Bowl. You trade that first-round pick, and you get the Herschel Walker deal. You get the just tons and tons of picks. Dangle it in front of Buffalo.
The Julio Jones deal. Just, the Robert Griffin III deal.
Yeah, exactly.
The Sammy Watkins deal.
mm-hmm. The Ricky Waters deal, where you just get another team, just get a boatload of picks. So it's funny. There's a couple teams who tanking would be great for. The Colts, because they know eventually Andrew Luck's coming back, and the Giants. And now Andrew Luck's far better than Eli right now, you know, obviously. But the Giants are in a position where I would like to see them tank. And you're right, Bob. You're absolutely right. Buffalo is doing far too much winning. I wonder how many people in Buffalo are upset.
Didn't we talk about this, how they would lose to the Bengals?
Oh, yeah,
of course. That's what they do.
Yes, they can't handle success.
That's who they are. They're like the self-sabotaging person that can't have good things in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they wind up married 5 times.
Yeah. And the thing about the Bills, though, is the dreaded regression word. The Bills, before that Bengals game, turned the ball over, I believe, on their first possession.
Yeah, it was just once. It was once and, before the Bengals game.
And they had not turned the ball over since. So you knew eventually, that's going to kind of eventually turn around. They're not good enough to be that team. So, yeah, you're right. The Bills, 3-2. Who's more angry? Who do you think's more angry right now for the fan base? The Bills at 3-2 or the Jets at 3-2? Because the Jets have even a worse quarterback situation than the Bills. Maybe Tyrod Taylor could be a good quarterback. But the Jets, they figured, okay, we traded one of our best defensive linemen to Seattle because we want to tank, and now they've got the same record as the Pats.
That's a really good point. Now, they do have a point differential of minus 10, I believe, even though they have a winning record.
Yeah, minus 14. Yeah.
Minus 14. So, yeah, even worse. So, I expect the regression is coming, and they'll probably have a 6-win season. Big difference between a 3-win season, though, and a 6-win season.
Yeah.
Big difference between picking second and picking sixth.
And with Cleveland at 0-5, San Fran 0-5, and the Giants just losing Odell Beckham at 0-5 and no running game and a horrible offensive line, you know, you're not at 3-2. There's no way you're getting a top three pick. It's not happening.
Tyrod Taylor against the Bengals defense threw 37 times and accumulated 166 yards for an average of 4.49 yards per attempt. That was basically a good running game for him. He had a good running game.
That's horrible. And it's like the Bengals have
got... And against Carolina, it threw for an average of 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're averaging like about 180 yards passing. You know, that works in 1973.
8-8.
Oh, yeah. We know it's fully coming.
Hey, do you have any other football takeaways? Because I got a couple of multiple choice questions for you.
Just real quick, we all knew it was going to happen, that Aaron Rodgers was going to lead them on a touchdown. We all knew it. And the funny thing is, everyone's going, oh, Dallas, they shouldn't score so soon. And I get it, but they were still losing by more than 3. So you get the touchdown whenever you can.
There was a minute 13 left on the clock, and I believe they had 1 timeout left.
Yeah, and they had a chance. Dallas had a chance to sack Aaron Rodgers on third down, which would have forced about a 48, 50-yard field goal, and he got free. And at that point, you're like, sorry, you're going to lose.
You just knew it. I was watching in Woodbridge at my family, my in-laws' place, and I don't know if you know this about Woodbridge, but it leans Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like Juventus or the Leafs or something, but there's just a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans in Woodbridge. And so it was in that rec room. And everyone was like, yeah, they're going to win. And I just looked at my little nephew with sadness in my eyes and said, no, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Nope. Dallas is off. I mean, their defense.
Well, so which 2-3 team, this is a multiple choice option here, which 2-3 team do you believe in the most at this point? The Cowboys, the Raiders, or the Titans?
Okay, Raiders gone. Out.
That's a Derek Carr thing?
Yeah, well, it's a Derek Carr thing, and also they were horrible defensively last year, and I think people wanted to believe in the Raiders so much for the nostalgia of it, but the Raiders, I don't trust at all.
Khalil Mack is like the A.J. Green of defense, yes, where you just want to rescue him from his stinky team.
Yeah.
You're so good. You just go somewhere where you can be free. Run free, little Palomino. Go and enjoy the wild fields. A Palomino's like a wild horse, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's true. It's like he needs to go to New England, and New England's like, yeah, we just got ourselves a rescue dog, and the rescue dog is Khalil Mack. And it's like, no, Khalil, come here. No. No, you don't need to flinch. Here's some kibble. It's fine. We love you. Yes. Shh. You're no longer in Oakland. Shh. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay, little guy.
Okay, so not the Raiders.
I don't think the Titans, because we don't know the health of Mariota. And every year, like it feels like it's, or the last couple of years felt like, ooh, it's going to be the Titans. So no, to me, it's still Dallas.
It's Dallas.
It's still Dallas because Prescott looked great. Ezekiel Elliott looked great.
Prescott got the score.
Yeah.
Prescott got the score that actually made it a tense final minute and 30 or whatever it was. And they did put up in the end, how many points was it again? Was it 31?
It was something like 20? That.
I can't remember off the top of my head. But the offense did its job.
Yeah.
And you know what? You got shut down at the end by the greatest
31.
Quarter. 31.
Yeah.
You got shut down at the end by the greatest quarterback in the league.
Yes.
That's his move.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be blamed for that. Sometimes you're just not as good as the team on the other side of the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go to the Dallas. I would go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Which 3-win team do you believe in the least?
Ooh, okay.
The Pats, the Steelers, or the Falcons?
Oh, the Steelers. Oh, the Steelers. This from just all the off the field stuff, like Roethlisberger versus Antonio Brown, or just whatever strife happened after the botched, what are we doing at the anthem? And Roethlisberger looks really beat up. And, yeah, I'm gonna go because I'm thinking a little bit the Falcons, but I'm gonna go Pittsburgh.
You know the Falcons. They might not be a 3-win team. They've gotten through with a couple lucky breaks at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like it's the Steelers, though. And I actually thought that they would win the AFC this year, just with all those offensive weapons healthy again and back together.
Yeah.
But there's something about this team. It's like three-day-old fish. It just it doesn't smell right. Something's going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. And, you know, you had Le'Veon Bell holding out, and which well within his right. But it just felt like all these little things were going on. And
the fun pick is the Pats, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because if the Steelers bottom out, that's disappointing. But if the Pats somehow blow it, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs because the East is a disaster. But a poor showing. And everyone, I hope for it. Like Tom Brady is hard to love, but he's impossible not to admire.
Yes, that's, you know what? That's a perfect way of putting it.
And it would be sad. It's every great player's job. You know, like we saw it here in Jose Bautista. It's every great player's job to either leave before it's time,
mm-hmm,
or go through the embarrassment of not being the guy you once were.
Yeah.
And if they don't make it to at least the conference final, they'll start saying, what about this Jimmy Garoppolo? What if we have to move on? Even though he's playing great.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing about Brady. The main problem with them is...
But they'll still be looking to move past him.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The main problem with them is that if Gronk isn't healthy, they just... I mean, maybe Brandon Cooks eventually will be that guy. Like, they just don't have that deep threat. Like, you watch that game on Thursday against Tampa, and the first half was just like, here's 29 passes, and I have 140 yards. It's like, you know, it's like watching Tyrod Taylor.
Is it an Edelman problem?
Well, it's partially, yeah, no Edelman, and there was no Gronk. And, you know, eventually, smoke
those
and mirrors.
Those are two of your best weapons.
Yes. And Gronk is the single most important non-quarterback in the entire NFL.
Sometimes we forget that because he's out so often.
Yeah.
But when he's in, he is literally indefensible.
Yes.
Too big for DBs, too fast for linebackers. He's just this freak unicorn. He's the Giannis Antetokounmpo of the NFL. By the way, how'd I do on that?
Who am I going to judge?
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds
enough.
A-plus to me.
Yeah, there you go. I got a football rant to go on a little bit later, but you want to park it for now?
Yeah, we can park it for now. We got our big question. What are you most thankful for in the world of sports?
Top five best seasonal foods.
Top five best seasonal foods.
We've been talking about sports a lot. Do you want to do maybe top five best seasonal foods
here? Yeah, let's get to seasonal foods here, because mine are a little bit controversial, because some of them you can eat year-round, but you should only really eat them one time of the year.
Okay, so let's explain specifically here that these are foods that you enjoy one day a year.
Yeah.
Usually a holiday. That's the way this tends to work out. So they're not, we could probably stretch it to mean seasonal in that it was sort of a Christmas time food.
Yeah,
I think you're going to do. Like eggnog is a Christmas time food.
Eggnog's pretty high on my list.
I always figured it would be number one. You and I have had the eggnog debate many times, and we're probably going to have it today.
So you mean you think it's only super delicious while I think it's extra super delicious?
Please, we'll get to it.
We'll get to it, yeah. So top five seasonal foods. I broke it down into the two seasons, really. There's summer and there's sort of late fall, winter. There's no spring food. You know,
what are you talking about? Easter. Easter has tons of foods. I think three out of my five are from Easter. Yes.
All right. Well, you know, Bob, I usually go first with the top five. Let's see your top five.
All right. Now, what didn't make it here were Cadbury Easter cream eggs, because unfortunately now they're available all year round.
Yeah, they really are. But shame on you, Cadbury.
Because there was a time when you could only get them at Easter, right?
Yeah.
And remember? And there was the bark,
yeah.
Right? And once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
So as a kid, you had to plow them.
Yeah.
You'd have like a pillowcase full of these in your closet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And same thing with the little Cadbury mini eggs as well.
So good.
So good.
But they can't count now because they ruined it. And also the Shamrock Shake.
Yes.
Which came out right around McDonald's mysterious green milkshake.
Yes.
And wasn't it Grimace who loved his Shamrock Shakes?
Well, certainly had the body of someone who loved milkshakes. Grimace.
That's an excellent observation. So those two I wanted to put on, but I didn't. Okay, so some of these are pretty ethnic. Mm-hmm. Well, most of these are pretty ethnic because that's just the world I come from.
Yeah.
Number five, Yushka. Or at least that's what we called it. And it was a punch made of apples and peaches and prunes and different things. And it would sit in a big pot. My grandmother would make it. And on Ukrainian Christmas Eve, there would be the pot of Yushka. And everybody knew, oh, Bobby's going for the Yushka, because I would go and get the ladle. It was kind of like my little cheesecakes the other day, where you just get up from the table and keep going. And but we never had it any other day. And I have no idea why. I guess you could.
You could?
But yeah, Yushka. Ukrainian Christmas treat.
Nice. Now, does anyone ever spike it, or is it always non-alcoholic?
It's never been spiked, but it didn't need to be spiked because of all the open bottles of whiskey on the table.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
The number four is Zeppole, which I was introduced to by my wife. Mm-hmm. And it's an Italian Easter treat, and it's a little custard-filled donut-type creation. And people only eat it around Easter time, and that's a mistake because it is delicious. In the same spirit, Easter again.
Yep.
Hot cross buns.
My problem with this is that sometimes the presence of raisins ruins it.
Well, if you don't like raisins, you're not going to like hot cross buns.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, it's like every other dessert that you ever eat. It's basically glazed and iced sweet bun with a cross on it.
Yep. With a cross on it. Here, for Jesus.
And you warm it up, which is, if you've ever eaten at Cinnabon, everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's always a little better if you warm it up just a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which goes to my number one, and this I don't get, but ham. And I don't mean sliced ham. I mean a ham.
Mm-hmm.
People only do this at Easter. We never have ham outside of Easter.
Oh, no.
Like
the
kind with the bone in stick it in the roaster and it comes out.
My family will often, because we are a firm believer in the two meat option. So I'm going to go. So I do, but I see
okay,
why.
Okay, so that could disqualify.
No.
We don't do that.
Yeah,
we only have the ham once a day, or once a year, I should say. And number one, right at Ukrainian Easter, again, is something called Pascha. Pascha is like this egg bread, and it's light and delicious. But here's the key, kids, to Pascha and why it's so good. You have it at breakfast because it's like Ukrainian breakfast.
Yeah.
So there's kielbasa on the table and all sorts of other stuff. But Pascha, there's a big thing of blessed butter. And there's nothing holding you back from taking like a... It's like a swath of butter right across the Pascha. I mean, it's thick. It's almost like a sandwich spread in and of itself. So you've got this delicious, fresh, eggy bread with, like, essentially, I would say probably a quarter of a pound of butter on it. On it. and everybody enjoys it. So Pascha, my number one best seasonal food treat.
Now, how many of these will you be able to eat when you're on your month-long fast?
Zero.
Zero.
Absolutely zero. Ham's the closest.
Yeah. It's a good list.
Thank you.
Very Eastern European there.
Well, but that's my background.
Yeah, of course, and a little bit of Italian as well. Number five for me, tortillas.
Oh, the meat pie, the Quebecois meat pie. Yeah, nice one. Yeah, love that suggestion.
And for that one, that is a winter thing. You do not eat a tortilla in summer, in spring.
Ever.
Yeah. So that for me is my number five.
And it's weird because it's not the same as a meat pie. It's not like going to the pub and getting yourself like a beef pie.
Yeah.
The tortilla is a very specific thing. So I like that one, Maddie. Mm-hmm.
At number four, stew. Like a hearty winter stew with all like the root vegetables, which are at their peak then. And just stew is something you don't eat in heat. Like it just, no one orders it. You might see it on a menu. You would never order it. No one cooks it from basically March to Halloween. Rarely do you ever see a stew.
Yeah, but Matt, that means from Halloween to March, people eat it all the time. That is a terrible pick.
Nope.
It totally
defeats. It's a cold, it's a winter, it's a seasonal food.
Yeah,
it
but
is
we
a
said
winter
that
food.
It's food that you would only eat on one day of the year or maybe a couple days of the year. You could eat stew for half the year in this country. Yeah. We live in winter. It's a terrible pick.
You're not going to like some of my other ones. Coming in at number three, it's a tie, stuffing and pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie counts.
Pumpkin pie and stuffing are things you only have twice a year. It's a Thanksgiving thing, and it's often a Christmas thing. And I don't get it. I don't know why, because stuffing can be made kind of lighter. I don't know why stuffing isn't something I can't have in the month of May, but stuffing is only available. It's the only time you have it. If you went right now to the cafeteria where you work and you brought out stuffing and it was right before the May 2/4 weekend, everyone would look at you cross-eyed.
That is true. Now, I will say there are different kinds of stuffing, and I think you mean specifically bread-based stuffings. Because you could do a stuffed Cornish hen and fill it up with rice, mm-hmm. and I don't think that would be weird.
I think that'd be weird if you brought that to the office.
Well, yeah, but that's fancy. Not the only criteria. Yeah. From what office do you go to?
I don't know. I
want to go hang around Tim Hortons in the afternoon.
I want to go to an office where that could be served. But
that one's not so bad though. It's not as bad as stew.
Love stew.
Well, I love stew too. That's why I eat it from November through to March.
Mm-hmm. Coming in at number two, and this is just a summer thing. This is only in summer, and actually, there is only really a span of maybe a month at most where it's at its peak and you can tell the difference. And it's a three-way tie for number two, mango, watermelon, and corn on the cob. There is a farm near our cottage and there's like a three-week window and everyone knows when the corn is ready and there is lineups of people and just to get it. And this corn, you don't need butter. You don't need anything. It's a meal in and of itself. Same thing with watermelon. No one eats watermelon in November, and watermelon is at its peak in the summer, and specifically within the span of a couple of weeks. And same with mango, my number one fruit. And I'll be the first to admit it. I'll get it in the off season, and at least half of it, it's green, it's hard, you're not enjoying it. It's not dripping, you know, just dripping off your mouth and chin. So at number two, those are my triplets of summer food.
You know what I'm going to say. Do I need to get into it?
You're going
to
agree with me.
It's a terrible pick. Not because those aren't good foods, Maddie, but the question was food that you eat only one or two days a year.
Yeah, I got greedy with
specific,
my list.
Yeah, but that's like saying best three-point shooters in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you said DeMar DeRozan, because he often passes to guys who are good shooters like Kyle Lowry.
I think that's a horrible analogy.
It's a bad analogy, but it's not as bad. It's a terrible, though. You know what? I gave you an out because of my bad analogy. But
horrible
the point
analogy.
Is, it's true. But your list, and you always do this. You answer the questions
in,
that you want to answer because you don't want to do the work.
And coming in at number one, of course, it's eggnog.
Which is so gross.
And it's really only on Christmas. It doesn't even have a Thanksgiving. I mean, it's, you know, when you think of eggnog, you think of Christmas Vacation. You think of the novelty moose cups, you know, that Clark Griswold was, you know, when he was scarfing it back when he found out he wasn't getting the Christmas bonus and that was going to screw up the swimming pool that he already put a deposit on. At number one is eggnog. Because
Do you actually like the taste of eggnog?
I love the taste.
Like stuff you get in the carton that you go
in
to.
The carton.
You go to the corner store and you get a carton of Seal Test eggnog.
Bob, you will sometimes see me behind, you know, behind the convenience store just guzzling back that eggnog on its own. And I don't even need the rum. I don't even need the thing of cinnamon or nutmeg or all the other accoutrement that makes eggnog so good. So at number one for me, it's only once a year. It should be more. And I get so excited when I see at the grocery store just the lines of eggnog. I'm like, oh, you're back. It's like my old Christmas friend. It's like Elf on the Shelf for dairy, and it is delicious.
Now, I can't disagree with your taste because your taste is your taste.
Yes.
But doesn't it bother you a little to know you're drinking eggs? What are you, Rocky Balboa training to fight Apollo Creed?
Why be worried about eating eggs?
If you put eggnog into baking tins, would they come out muffins?
They're delicious muffins.
I guess so. I don't know, Matt. I can't disagree with you on this one because if you like it, you like it. And who am I to say? I like Posca with lots of butter.
Hey, it's all good. We could do a poll question. Eggnog, fair or foul? I bet I win that one.
Yeah, you know what? Something tells me we can get to this closer to Christmas. Don't hijack this, I almost said bleeping podcast to another stupid egg question.
Mm-hmm. So that is my top five. I admit I went a little bit more seasonal.
Oh, you went a little bit? You mean like watermelon for that 1 or 2 days a year when you eat watermelon as opposed to from May to September?
But
corn was okay, Matt.
It hits its peak, Bob. Matt. It hit, as someone who enjoys the taste of food, someone who appreciates it, you have to know there is a peak for these things.
Cause we're about to do things we're thankful for because it's Thanksgiving. But in the spirit of how you interpret questions, I expect your Christmas wish list to be on this as well. Because those months are kind of close to each other.
I am thankful for Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I am thankful we only do this once a week.
Twice a week, Bob. It's Monday.
I have so little to be thankful for.
Well, I think you'd be thankful if Rogers allowed you to have the internet in your phone again.
They'll allow me. I just have to give them money. And I think you'd be saves of goods and services.
I think you'd be thankful if Brooks Brothers took you under their wing and
I am just sweating. I am sitting here sweating this meal off. It is horrible. I've actually sweat through my shirt.
I have a third one to go through.
How are you going to do that?
I'm just going to roll over there.
You know what? And you know what the sad thing is?
Yeah.
I was so tired. I fell asleep on the couch and they woke me up. It was like waking up a hibernating bear. They basically poured me into the back seat of the car, drove me home. Terrible night's sleep. I woke up. You know what the first thing I did was?
Eat turkey.
I woke up and went downstairs, still in my bathrobe, opened up a Ziploc bag from last night's turkey and started eating it cold. And then I thought, you know what? I can do better. So I grabbed my bottle of French's mustard. I put some mustard on the piece of turkey I was holding in my hand and then finished it.
I couldn't even eat this morning. I was like, girlfriend's like, do you want anything for the road? I'm like, I'll just take a banana, some water. My wife
asked me, do you want me to make some eggs? And I didn't know how to tell her, no, honey, because I've already had a plate of turkey.
Yeah. Now, it could be worse. You didn't do the turkey, mashed potato, gravy.
I would have, but she didn't bring any of it home. I was asleep on the couch, and she refused to bring any of it home.
Whoa.
She's smart, though. No, really. She's no enabler. She's good.
Oh, I'm going to be bringing. There is my fridge, because I haven't really been around much the last week and a half, so I've got to do grocery shopping. My fridge is going to be filled with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but you live like a bachelor, even though you live with your girlfriend, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so you see a free meal, and you're going to bring it home in a bag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right.
God, I got to hit the gym after this podcast and before I go over.
I feel like the gym just hit me. All right, so things we're thankful for, Maddie. Yeah. It's our big question of the week.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a simple one.
You want to just do a couple and alternate?
Yeah, you know what? I have one sort of big one, but I mean, I have a bunch of smaller ones. You know what's the thing I'm most thankful for?
What's that?
The unpredictable nature of sports. It's why, you know, I was bummed out with the NBA playoffs last year. And it's why my irrational hate towards Kevin Durant. But I love just the unpredictability of it. And some of this is going to be just my own experiences. Eli twice beating Brady in a Super Bowl. We all know Eli Manning is a slightly above average quarterback. That's what his career is going to be. No one expected them, especially the first time. When they beat the Patriots and the Patriots were going undefeated, my friends picked me up, you know, like I was in the middle of a Jewish wedding. You know, they were just throwing
you
me up in the
air. You were in the chair?
I was in the chair. The Jays in 2015, no one saw that coming. They were barely 500 when, you know, they made the deals for Tulowitzki. And then suddenly we had a year and a half of so much fun. The Cavs beating Golden State, no one expected that. You know, there's so many of these examples. And it's the one thing more than anything else that I love about sports is just when things go nutty. And it's just so much fun. So the number one thing I'm most thankful for, the unpredictable nature of sport.
That's a really good one. I'm going to do my sort of heartfelt running for office one first, too.
Do it.
And that is, I'm thankful for kids sports. And unless you hang around kids, you don't really get it. You probably, if you're listening to the podcast, played some at some point in your life.
Yeah.
Probably when you were young. And you remember how much joy there is. But in some ways, it's almost more fun to watch kids do it now when you're grown up. Because you just remember how fun and how innocent you feel when you're on that team and you're enjoying it. You know, like Merrick's kid, TJ, he's now part of his baseball rep team. And just watching him get better and really enjoy it, like, it's such a treat. And there's so much BS that goes through the sports world.
Yeah.
Whether it is the cheating or the egos or the big money. And I think we've all come to understand it or forgive it in our own way. But just kids goofing around in the schoolyard. To anybody who thinks sports aren't important, they are important. Now, big business isn't necessarily the fun part of it. It's not the part that we may like the best. But just that core of it, that core of what it means to play. Kids get it, and that's what I love, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, 100%. It can teach them so much. Independence also, if kids are busy at sports, then maybe they're not doing other things that sometimes can lead you astray a little
bit. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. You know what I'm thankful for in sports? Hmm. And there's a big negative as well. But man, is there a fun positive? Twitter. I love, like, just when there's a huge event and something great happens and everyone reacts on Twitter and it's like you're suddenly part of this huge community. And we all know the negative sides and the racism, the misogyny, the odd death threats for really for someone doing something nothing. And so we know the negative. But there is such a positive. And then the fun memes. And, you know, when Chris Christie awkwardly celebrated with Jerry Jones and there was 4 billion different memes for that. Or when you see a great catch or goal or whatever and suddenly it's there and it's alive on Twitter and it can make you laugh. It can inform you. Sometimes you learn a lot because smart people tweet out interesting things about a game you're watching and suddenly you're like, wait a minute, I never thought of it that way. Thank you for making me smarter. So that's another thing I'm thankful for is Twitter.
And I'd like to pick up on that and say I am thankful for the non-mainstream sports media, the kids who are out there doing blogs and pods and making this their own.
Yeah.
I learn a lot from just different blogs and pods that I follow. And these aren't necessarily professionals or they're people who are doing it and they're not making a great living. It's just something to supplement a yep. bigger living. And you and I grew up through the mainstream media mm-hmm. and you see how the machine works.
Yep.
And I love that these kids are not desperate to be part of it. I love that they're taking the technology at their disposal and using it and exploring the creativity of it. I get at least half my information these days from what we'd consider non-mainstream sports venues.
Yeah.
And some of the smartest people working in the business right now are in the non-mainstream area. So when you and I were back on the air, back at TSN a few years back, this is a little bit of a pull a curtain back on the history of Macko and Cause, but we were forefront of saying these analytics kids
yep.
deserve to be on the air.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a lot of pushback from a lot of people who said it's not legitimate. They're just a bunch of kids sitting in their basement. And we were like, read the stuff. It's really thoughtful and interesting.
Yes. Exactly. The content was great. And also you could tell there was a lot of work. Like, we put on Jeffler, Steve Dangle.
Tyler Dello used to come on. He wasn't a kid. He was a lawyer, but he was doing non-mainstream work. Yeah. And actually wound up part of the mainstream eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But and we got tons of pushback, as you'd expect, because the same people who would rip you if you're part of that group weren't happy that we were doing it either, because we were giving airtime to people who didn't, quote unquote, deserve it. But I will say this. All the people in the mainstream media, they're smarter than you think they are. They know more than you think they do, but they have to protect the shield and they have to protect their sources. They know so much more than you think they do, but they can't say it because they've got to protect their spot or somebody's going to help them. So, you know, like this happens all the time.
The symbiotic relationship that exists.
And
between
that's true of every journalist.
Media. Yes, of course.
Every journalist
in any field. You know, in every field.
And you know what? The insiders, God bless them, but they're not analysts. So when people say, you know, they won't say boo, you know, to save their lives, they're not supposed to. They're just supposed to give information. So it's not their job
to do that. It is the columnist's job. It is, the insiders are different than the beat reporters, who are different than the columnists, or the ones who are there for their opinions. Yeah, they're all very different.
There's a lot of really good people in the mainstream media, and they have access, and they're thoughtful, and I think they get ripped unnecessarily too.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, sometimes the people who got blogs or pods can analyze it with a cleaner head and a cleaner slate, because they don't have all those complications.
Yes.
They're just saying what they see.
Yep.
And so I love it, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Trying to think, you know what? Those are the sort of the main sort of big picture ones. I mean, there's a lot.
I got a bunch of fast ones. Do you want to roll through some fast ones and then I'll do mine?
No, you go through yours. I'll comment on
this. This one shouldn't be fast, but you know, we've talked a lot. How late are we here into the pod here?
We are. Oh, good question. We are 49 minutes in.
So I won't go into a big diatribe. I'm really glad NFL players are taking a knee. I think that bringing politics into discussion in as many ways as possible is a good thing. I'm pretty sure this isn't about Black Lives Matters anymore, as Colin Kaepernick started it. I think it's morphed into something else. That's pretty common for when protest movements become popular. But I feel like we need proxy wars in our culture. That a lot of the stuff that we talk about, if it was on the ground level, like we can't talk about it as Black Lives Matter, but we can talk about it as NFL football players.
Mm-hmm.
And why that is, I'm not sure. Maybe there's a lot of reasons. But if from that you can shake down and get to the real core of it, which is First Amendment rights, which is police who are brutalizing a segment of the population. That's great. Maybe we need the proxy war. Maybe we need to be able to say Donald Trump versus, you know, owner X in order to have this conversation. So I'm grateful for that. And by the way, Mike Pence is a pure idiot.
Yes.
And that stunt yesterday, which Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star, who covers the U.S. politics from Washington, estimated that it would cost, just based on the flights and the kind of flights that were used, about $250,000 to stage that PR stunt where he went to the Colts game and then left because he refused to be part of anything where people were disrespecting the flag.
I always thought
total stunt, BS move. These guys are hacks.
Yes. And I always thought the government was in favor of peaceful protest.
That's the irony of
it. It's peaceful protest. All they're doing is like, it is the most benign protest. I mean, in full agreement.
There was a great observation made once on Twitter that what this really showed was that most of that administration hates Americans but loves America.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I'm thankful for podcasts. I'm thankful for Lebatard, Kornheiser, Dave Damaschek. Raptors HQ, Sean Woodley does a good one with the Raptors. So I'm thankful for sports podcasts sort of picking up. You sort of mentioned it, but I just want to specific about that because it allows you to gain access into different worlds. I know more about what's going on in Washington or Miami, you know, because of specific podcasts. So that's something I'm thankful for.
You can probably break down Gio Gonzalez's start better than you could talk about, TFC.
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much so. Yeah.
Very much so. I'm going to blast through a couple quick ones here. I'm thankful for foot-long hot dogs because it is the right size for a hot dog. And the small hot dog just makes you mad and then you got to get two, but then you feel like an animal. So the foot-long hot dog is the right size. Thank you for that. Thankful for Kyle Lauer and DeMar DeRozan because their friendship is the best.
Yep.
And no matter what happens with that team, they make them so easy to root for. And it's so rare to see two guys so different in nature who clearly like each other that much. And it just gives the Toronto Raptors a feel-good vibe, no matter how they play.
Raptors are filled with feel-good. I'm thankful for Masai Ujiri and everything he does on and off the court, Giants of Africa. Also, when you look at some of the top players for the Raptors, there's no guy dripping with talent. These are self-made men. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, self-made all-stars. Norman Powell just signed a four-year extension. He's a self-made starter.
Second-round pick.
Yeah, second-round pick. A lot of just self-made men on this Raptor squad.
Okay, so real quick here, I'm thankful for Jack Eichel because every hero needs a villain, and if Austin Matthews is going to be the hero of this piece here in Toronto, Jack Eichel feels like he would be a great villain.
Yep.
Just down the QEW, can't wait for that to happen. Hopefully it does. I'm thankful for Rico Coliseum because it is a great place to see a game in the city. We're never going to support a junior team, but you could get behind the Marlies, and there is not a bad seat in the Rico. So for $10, you can go see really, really good hockey, which is nice. Thankful for Aaron Rodgers, because in a world where there's nothing to believe in, there needs to be at least one dominant quarterback we can believe in. He is that guy. And my final one here, Maddie.
Yep.
I am thankful to the 2015 Maple Leafs, because without you, we may not have Matthews. So here is the campaign I want to start today. When the Leafs win a cup with this Matthews crew, the 2015 Leafs should get rings too.
I think at the very least, Peter Horacek should be able to come on the ice, grab the Stanley Cup, and hold it over his head so he can feel victory.
Nick Spaulding, P.A. Parento, Scotty Harrington.
Come on
even
down.
Even Jonathan Bernier. You just, yeah, come on down.
Come on
Garrett
down.
Sparks had a couple starts. Just get in there. Just grab that cup. You're part of this legacy too, guys.
Yep.
I'm thankful for you and that horrible year you had to endure so now we could have this.
And a quick shout out, Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner of the CFL. Every movie he's made has been a great one. The man is commissioning without fear, which is the way it should be. Bob?
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
You got no more?
We're out of time, buddy.
We are not.
We're at like 55 minutes.
Well, give a couple more thank yous if you got them.
No. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for the baseball playoffs. I'm thankful that today there's four games going on. I'm thankful for the fact that Leafs, Blackhawks, this game, it's funny, this game tonight, I'm thankful because, you know, the Leafs, we're going to have a real read of just who they are through game three of the season because they're going up against the team they want to be.
I'm so grateful there's not a pod tomorrow because there's no way I'm going to stay up for that game.
Oh.
I will be asleep before. I'm sweating now, Matt. Mm. Sweating through this shirt.
Okay, real quick. I'm thankful for fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I hate
How's your team doing?
Bad. I have David Johnson. So I both love and hate fantasy football. I'm thankful for Florida-style chicken wings, which are just delicious. I'm thankful for nachos.
What's Florida-style?
Just bigger and fatter. More meat. More meat.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida-style. Of course. So, you know.
Does it commit a felony? Does it wander around a trailer park in an undershirt and yell at people?
Yes, and it also...
You don't know me.
It also has an ex-wife and three kids that it's not paying alimony for as well. So it is doing that. Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, there's that.
I'm glad I made it to the end. I don't know how I did today. I feel like I was just hanging on.
Do you think on Thursday, will your phone and internet be working?
We'll find out. I'd give it 50-50 at this point.
Everyone listening, final thing I'm thankful for, everyone who listens, everyone who subscribes, everyone who has left a review. All the reviews have been super nice. Thank you guys very much. It's one of the reasons why we've expanded from one to two a week. I'm thankful for doing this. This is a lot of fun. I love working with you, Bob. So on Thanksgiving, there's tons of things I'm thankful for.
Matt, I think you said it beautifully, so why don't we just end there?
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.